Sinking the Titanic is a piece that I started in 1969. Although some friends tell me that I did talk about the idea of the piece the previous year when I was living in America. It originated, I guess, initially from the report of the band having played a hymn in the ship's final moments. And that was a kind of legend which everyone knew about. There was also, at that time, the film came out called A Night to Remember, which to me was still seems to me the most accurate and honest film about the film, about the disaster. And that also I found very touching, and maybe that also stimulated me. So the exact origins are not clear. But what I did do initially was to write a draft of what a sketch of the piece, of what the piece might be for an art exhibition in 1969 when I was teaching in an art college in Portsmouth. And various members of the staff contributed artworks to this exhibition, and mine was seen as a kind of conceptual artwork where I write a text, and from the text you can imagine what the reality might be. So it was a kind of an idea, but it remained just an idea until 3 years later I was asked to make a realization of the piece for a concert in London in December 1972, and there I then started to think practically about the piece. And the first thing to ask, of course, is I researched all sorts of things about the disaster. I read the Board of Trade report. Later, I actually interviewed some survivors, but the first thing to find out was exactly what music was played on the ship. Who were the musicians? How many were there? What were their instruments? And I found, of course, that there were 8 musicians, 2 pianists, and 6 string players, 3 violins, 2 cellos, and a double bass. So that gave me the instrumentation, and then the question of what did the band play, what was the music, and the popular legend has it that it was a hymn called Nearer My God to Thee, though one of the survivors was emphatic that if someone had played that hymn, he would have said it was in bad taste and they shouldn't play it. But the most accurate information we have comes from a man called Harold Bride, who was the junior wireless operator on the ship, and he was the one of the 2 wireless operators who survived, and his job was actually to receive messages and to then convey them on to the ship's crew. So he was used to listening and reporting accurately. That, I think, is a quite important point. And he remembered when he was in the water, the ship was going down, he had a life belt on, and he said, and he remembered that the band was still playing. He said the way they kept playing was a noble thing. And when he was floating in the sea, they were still on the deck playing Autumn. And that was what he called the piece they played. Well, Autumn is a hymn tune. So that was what I actually used as a basis of the music. So I have this hymn tune recurring in various forms. But I also have other musical references to other possible hymn tunes which come back at different times. And this hymn tune becomes the main unit of the piece. And the important thing for me was that the band didn't stop playing. When Harold Bride saw them, they were still playing, and he didn't hear them stop before the ship went down. So they were still playing as they went into the water. And I imagine that somehow they were still playing under the water, and so the music has a life which goes on infinitely below the water, right down to the bottom of the ocean. So that was a speculation about the piece. And it involves lots and lots of research, which became more and more detailed, and everything that I found, I would add to the piece. So I date the piece from 1969, and then I put onwards, because I periodically add something to a performance if some new element comes in which interests me, and that's been happened over many years. I probably haven't added anything much in the last 10 or 15 years, but it was basically the idea that the piece is an open one. And so the scoring is for a group of strings and various others, and eventually I made a version which is called a kind of orchestral version, which is the one you have in Sweden. Well, one of the things I've done with the piece is, generally I would play it simply as a concert piece, usually in a fairly subdued light, because it's something where you concentrate and you sort of almost meditate. But I've, on other occasions, I have used visual elements with it. Initially, sometimes I'd use slides, projected images of the ship, parts of the ship, of people on the ship, and so on. And then, when it was the centenary of the Titanic sinking in 2012, I did a tour with my ensemble. We played in a number of different countries. And for that, American filmmaker Bill Morrison and his wife, Laurie Olinder, who I knew, I asked them to make a film which would go with this live performance. Now, one of the things that Bill and Laurie do is to make films from, if you like, decaying and damaged film stock. So they'll have things which have been almost thrown away, and the films are very scratchy, very fragile, and he makes new things out of them. So he made this piece, his film, from a lot of footage which you can find. There's some old 8mm footage from the time of the Titanic, of the captain standing on the deck, of the ship moving away, and people moving about, individual people. And then to add to that, you can add various other things. For example, images of an iceberg, of the sea, many different things. So Bill put together all this archive footage and timed it so it would last the length of my performance. The one I did for that centenary tour was 72 minutes long. And that it was because it was normally an hour, but I had an improvising turntable player called Philip Jack, who did a 12-minute prologue, and sadly he died early this year, and so can no longer do that. So but what Bill and Laurie did was that they edited a new version, especially for you, in fact, so that this is an hour long, and it fits the time scale of what you will be performing anyway. And it's he does it in such a way that the film is projected as a double, once as a real projection, the other as a kind of mirror image. So it's like a divided screen where you see each image twice, but once in reverse, as it were. It's some very, very touching moments. It follows a kind of narrative sequence, so it starts more or less as a Titanic is about to leave. You see people getting onto the ship, people waving goodbye and so on, and then it moves further into the narrative as we go on.